Welcome and greetings, career-minded superstars. You are listening to the exclusive Career Coach, your podcast for all things career. And I'm Lisa Edwards, the indispensable career coach for superstars just like you. Now let's dig into this week's topic, shall we? Hi there. I want to tell you about my webinars that are going to be coming up every month. I want you to check out my website and see what this month's webinar topic is and sign up. The format is going to be the same every month, even though the topics are going to change. It's going to be a huge variety of career-related topics. I'm going to give you a deep dive into content about that topic for about 30 minutes, and then you're going to have a chance for 30 minutes of Q&A in the chat box while I'm teaching you. You can ask me a question, and then if you're really brave, and I hope you will be, you can be volunteered to coach live on that month's topic. So you can raise your hand and I'll coach you. I want to give you that URL so that you can go to my website, see what the next topic is, and sign up. So go to go to my website at exclusivecareercoaching.com/webinar signup. See what this month's topic is, see when and what time it is, sign up and get in there and participate with me. I look forward to having you there. Thanks. Hi guys, how you doing? It's Lisa Edwards again with Exclusive Career Coaching, your job search coach. So I hope you had a chance to listen to the first podcast. I did a pretty high level overview of the job search. And I want to drill down today. So one of the things that I said in the first podcast was job boards are broken. And that I don't want you to spend more than 25% of your job search time on job boards. But what do you do with job boards if you must use them? You know, I kind of think of them as being sort of like a habit, right? And so when my clients are thinking about conducting a proactive job search, it's like this little safety blanket habit that they have. Like, I really don't feel like I cannot use job boards. And the fact of the matter is some people do get jobs with them. They can be effective. So I want to give you 12 tips to maximize your results on job boards. So if you're going to use them, here are some tips on making the most of them. So number one, as I said, spend no more than 25% of your overall time on them. So make sure that that's not the bulk of your efforts. And I like to do job boards. My time is 10 o'clock at night. That's what I always tell clients is, you know, you can't probably call people to schedule networking. You don't need to be meeting people for coffee at 10 p.m. if you want to ever go to sleep. So 10 o'clock at night, 10 to 11, maybe right before you go to bed, spend an hour on the job boards. That might be the best time to do that. Number three, don't apply unless you're fully qualified. So because of the nature of the job boards and the amount of competition that comes in for most positions, it's going to be really hard to come to the top of the pile in that scenario unless you are fully qualified. So there was a day not all that long ago when I would tell my clients, if you've got 50% of what they're looking for, apply. You have a shot. And I don't think that's the case anymore. I think you pretty much need to be the ideal candidate on paper. So even if you know in your heart of hearts, I am the ideal candidate, I am the solution to their problem, if it doesn't look that way on paper, and I'm not talking about how great your resume is, I'm talking about if you don't have the qualifications, you don't have the degree or the experience or the certifications or whatever they're looking for, it's going to be almost impossible to come to the top of the pile. Number four, customize your resume and cover letter for that position. So one of the things that I want you to do is, and this really speaks to number five, incorporating keywords in your resume. So part of the customization process for the resume is I take a highlighter to a job description and I go through the keywords and I highlight them, and then I go to my resume and I do where you can find words on your document and see if they're there. And what I'm doing is I want to make sure that the keywords that are most important in that job description exist in my resume, assuming that I have it. I'm obviously not going to put something in there that I don't, a skill or a qualification that I don't have. But if I have it, I want to make sure. So maybe it's something that's not a big deal. I haven't done it a lot. It wasn't really that important overall, so I didn't include it in my resume initially. But it's obviously what this particular company wants, so I'm going to put it in there. So this is really important for ATS purposes. So ATS is applicant tracking systems. So for all of you, which is probably all of you, who have had to do an online application to a company, they've sent you to their website and you've gone through this onerous process, that's an applicant tracking system. And most companies of any size today have ATS. It's a way to streamline the hiring process, kind of make sure that they're playing on a level playing field with, you know, compliance and all of that. So for a human to ever see your resume, the ATS has to find you as a qualified candidate when the search, you know, criteria are put in. So the criteria are going to be those key words. So if they're looking for a specific degree, if they're looking for a specific certification, one of the things that companies will often search on is competitors. So if they're in the, you know, telecommunications space, then they might put in the name of some of their key competitors because they're looking for people who have worked in that space, and that's one way to do it. So concerning your cover letter, you really want to kind of fill in any blanks about why you want to work there, why you're a great fit, why you applied for the position. So you're really kind of making sure with the resume and cover letter that you are addressing your interest in that specific position and not just, you know, I want a job, any job. Number six. So making sure that your resume is ATS compatible. So I touched on this a moment ago in terms of keywords, but I also want you to think about the overall format. So one of the things that I do for my clients is I give them two versions of their resume. I call it the pretty version, which is fully graphic and has kind of all the bells and whistles. And then I give them an ATS compatible version, which strips out those formatting elements and makes it, puts everything in the right place so that the ATS can read it. So for example, I got a resume today. This is a great example. So the heading that she had used over her professional experience section was called something like career synopsis or something like that. Well, here's the problem. The ATS is going to look for a section on your resume first and then go in that section to get what it needs. And for experience, it's looking for the word experience. So the fact that she didn't have the word experience, the ATS is a computer. It's not human. It can't find the right section of the resume. You know, for example, if it's looking for a certain degree, it's going to look for the word education. So if you have some weird terminology as the heading over your education, it's not going to be able to find your education. And it won't be able to find your experience if it's not, if the word experience is not included in there. Now, what most ATS will allow you to do is upload the fully graphical version of your resume. So I always have, as I said, two. I'm going to upload the ATS into the system, and then I'm going to attach the pretty version, because the humans, i.e. the recruiters, the HR people, they want to see the attractive version of the resume. Number seven, use LinkedIn to find at least one person who can make an introduction to the decision makers for you or who can recommend you. So as I said in the first podcast, even if you are applying to a position via job boards, find somebody in your network who can put in a good word for you, introduce you to somebody, or who can just give you the name of somebody that you can reach out to, something so that you can have a phone conversation, an email conversation, or best case scenario, an in-person conversation. Number eight, you can also reach out directly to the decision maker using LinkedIn. So if you're applying to, you know, ABC company, do a search on LinkedIn. And if you don't know how to do the advanced search function, I'll tell you how to do that in just a moment. But use the advanced search function to find the decision maker at the company. So, you know, maybe it says in the job description, reporting directly to whatever the job title is, or you go on their website and you find an org chart and you figure out who the decision maker is, or you just use your
knowledge of the industry to say it's likely going to be the VP of whatever the case may be, but you find that decision maker on LinkedIn, reach out to them directly. Now, your initial email should be customized, but I don't want you to tip your hat that you're applying for the job. So I just want you to say, Sam, it looks like we have some connections in common. Let's connect. Or Sam, I see we both used to work at X company. Let's connect. So some way of customizing, personalizing the LinkedIn invitation, but not telling them that you're applying for a job there, because that may send them running in the other direction. So after they've connected with you, they've accepted your connection, then you can say, Sam, thank you so much for accepting my connection. I'm actually applying for your blah, blah position. And I was wondering if I could ask you a question about it, or, you know, something like that. So, what question do you have? What do you need to know? What kind of a personal connection do you want to make relative to that job? Oh, I wanted to talk, I kept thinking there was something I wanted to tell you, and it was about the advanced search function. So I mentioned that a moment ago. So on LinkedIn, up at the upper, up above your, where your profile is, there's a bar where you can put in somebody's name and you can search for them. In that bar is a magnifying glass. And if you'll click on that magnifying glass, it'll open up a search function. And this allows you to search for people whose names you don't know. So again, if we use this example, you're searching for someone who works at a specific company. So let's say ABC company, you know that you need the vice president of sales and marketing. You can use that advanced search function keyword. It'll have a place for you to put company. So you can put ABC. It'll have title, you can put VP, and you may just want to do vice president. Unless you know the exact job title, maybe, you know, be a little more general so that you make sure you get what you're looking for. And you can also put geography in there. So if you want it to be city and state, you can play with this however you need to get the results you want. But that advanced search function is fantastic for finding people whose names you don't know, or even if you're, you know, if you know the name is Sam Smith, well, Sam Smith's a pretty common name. So if you do a search on LinkedIn for Sam Smith, you're going to get many results and you may not be able to figure out which one is which. So you can use the advanced search function to put in Sam Smith plus company name or Sam Smith plus job title so that you can narrow that list down. All right. Number 9, and remember our topic here is if you must use job boards, how can you get the most out of them, right? So 9 is provide something extra that they're not going to get from other applicants. So in the application stage, so you've got this ATS, you know, you're going through the process, you're filling out their application, you're uploading your pretty resume. They often will have the opportunity for you to submit additional content. And by the way, the cover letter is often that kind of additional content. And I get a lot of questions from clients about whether cover letters are still relevant. And my answer is absolutely. Most companies are not requiring cover letters anymore. It's just that extra thing that shows your interest. It gives you a place to put why you're interested in their company, because there's no place to really do that in the body of the resume. And it also gives you an opportunity for them to kind of see your writing style, because it's a very different writing style than the resume. So, additional things that they're not going to get from other people that you might want to include. A glowing letter of recommendation. Hey, just wanted you to see this letter that my previous boss wrote about me. A case study of your biggest wins. So your biggest win. So what can you send them, sort of a brief synopsis of a great sale that you made or whatever. An infographic of your accomplishments or values. So is there an infographic you can put together about your sales results or your IT implementation results, that kind of thing. And then a sample of your work. So depending on if you're in a field where writing is required or some sort of creativity is required, or where you have something tangible that you could submit as a sample. My caveat about all of this is don't overdo it. Kind of pick one and don't overwhelm them. And that's not to say that you might not send them another thing. So let's just say they accept you and they want you for an interview. You could send one of these things as part of the thank you after the interview. So you can kind of spread these things out, but I wouldn't overwhelm them initially. Number 10, complete the application process. Your chance of getting called for an interview on a job posted on an online without a complete application is just, it's not going to happen. If there's 150 or 200 applicants, why would they select someone who has, said, see resume. I know it's a pain in the butt. You've just submitted your resume and now you're answering the same information again on their application. I don't understand why they haven't figured that out and fixed it, but they haven't. So even if it's a stupid question, even if it's completely covered in your resume, even if you're cutting and pasting pieces of your resume to answer their question, just do it. Complete it. If you want to cuss while you're doing it and fuss and fume, go right ahead. The ATS can't hear you. So you can scream it, you can mutter it under your breath, but just do it. Number 11, follow up whenever possible. Now, job boards don't make this easy. So if it's a blind ad or if it says right on there, no calls, please, respect their request that you're not going to win any brownie points by disobeying their rules. But in the absence of those kinds of signals that you shouldn't, follow up, connect to somebody, find out what the next step in the process is. Ask them a question about the job, whatever you need to do, but follow up so that you're kind of in the loop and you kind of know what's going on. And also they know you're really super interested in their job. Finally, think about job boards as a reference point for companies that are hiring rather than just the jobs that are posted. And then seek conversations with decision makers independent of job listings. So what I'm saying here is if ABC company is posting a lot of jobs on Indeed.com, then you know something about ABC company. And what you know is that they're in hiring mode. I mean, we're talking about a half a dozen jobs. And I will frequently see that on job boards where there's a concentration of jobs from one company. So what I know about that company without knowing anything else is I know that they're in hiring mode. And so I might want to have a conversation with the decision maker about that hiring mode. So I don't have to be worried about, oh, they don't have the right kind of job that I am qualified for. I know they're hiring. So if we take an example of a salesperson, well, guess what? If they're doing hiring in research and development, or they're doing hiring in their technical area or whatever, you guys are the salespeople who sell whatever it is that's being developed. So it's reasonable to expect that at least in the not too distant future, they're going to need more sales staff to sell whatever it is the R&D people are developing or the IT people are putting out there. So do your homework to find out why they're in hiring mode and how can you add value to what's happening in this company. So do your homework. So make sure you don't just call somebody and ask, why are you hiring? Do your homework and have some knowledge. And then make sure that company fits with the qualities you're looking for in an ideal employer. So just because they're hiring, if they're not a good fit for you, that's not a reason to reach out and to try to have a conversation. And then you seek out that decision maker to have that conversation about the value that you can bring to the organization. So again, we're talking about getting the right people on the bus. That's Jim Collins's phrase in Good to Great. And so that's really what you're doing, is having those networking conversations about fit with the organization. All right, so quickly, I'll go over these again. I'm sorry you get to hear shuffling papers in the background, but here you go. So if you must use job boards, here are your 12 tips. Number one, no more than 25% of your time on job boards. Number two, do it at 10 o'clock at night when you can't probably network in person or on the phone or whatever. Number three, don't apply unless you're fully qualified. If you're going to go this route, you need to have all the qualifications they're looking for. Number four, customize your resume and cover letter. Make sure that, for example, at the top, if they're looking for a sales manager, then your resume should have sales manager at the top. Do not make it hard for people looking at your resume to figure out what job you're applying for. It should be the most prominent thing on your resume. I'll talk about that more in another podcast. You may question me saying that. You may think it should be your name. Who cares what your name is if they don't know what kind of job you're looking for? Unless you're famous, who cares what your name is? So, customize your resume and cover letter. Be sure and incorporate keywords into your resume so that the ATS, the applicant tracking system, can find you. Number six, make sure your resume is ATS compatible. So in terms of headings, that the headings make sense. Experience needs to be the heading for your professional experience section. The word education needs to be in your education section. And all of the formatting needs to be removed so that it does, 'cause you'll just get the ATS will just read that as symbols. You've seen that before. It'll just be like symbols and wingdings and stuff. Number seven, use LinkedIn to find at least one person who can make an introduction to the decision maker for you or who can recommend you. So never just apply. Repeat after me. Never just apply. If you're going to go to all that trouble and pain in the butt that it is to do an online application, take that additional step to make a connection, an offline connection. Number eight, reach out to the decision maker directly using LinkedIn. So that's an option. They may ignore you. You can't control that, but you could at least reach out. Don't in the initial email say, hey, I'm applying for a job at your company, because you may scare them off. Just say about some commonality that you have, the two of you, look at their LinkedIn profile, maybe something interesting about their profile, and then connect with them and then tell them that you've applied for a job or that you're going to. Number nine, provide them with something extra that they won't get from other applicants. Don't overdo it, but it could be a letter of recommendation, a case study of your biggest win, an infographic of your accomplishments or values, your sales results, that kind of thing, or a sample of your work. Number 10, complete the application process. Leave no blanks. Don't do the see resume thing. Understand that this is initially, this whole process is computer based. The computer can't intuit any of that. And you can imagine, see resume, well, that doesn't populate that field with the information that the ATS needs to make a decision about you. Number 11, whenever possible, follow up with your application. See where they're at, answer, see if they have any questions for you. What's the process going to look like? Just follow up. And number 12, think about using job boards not in terms of just what's posted, but who's in hiring mode, which of those companies would be a great fit for me, and then have those offline conversations about your fit with the organization, independent of any position that has been posted. So I hope this has been helpful. 12 steps. If you must use a job, must use job boards, here's how to make the most of them. And please leave me a comment, review me, and we will connect again next week. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to The Exclusive Career Coach with Lisa Edwards, CEO of Exclusive Career Coaching. It would be great if you would rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. Also, I want to be your career coach, so be sure to ask questions about your career management challenges and job search situation. Until next time.